Let me say that I count it an honor and a privilege to be in the house of the Lord tonight with God's people. There's no place I'd rather be than with you here tonight. And every time we meet in the house of God, it's always another glorious opportunity for God to do that great miracle, the greatest of all, to born somebody again in His Spirit, to rebirth them. And that's certainly our prayer tonight. If the Lord deals with your heart and says, come, you come as the Spirit bids you. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me them to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. John's Gospel and the 11th chapter. And as you turn there, I want to read one verse of Scripture. Two words, and it's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to you, in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus. God, as we come to you tonight, how thankful we are, Lord, that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, was tried and tempted as we are, yet without sin. God, I thank you tonight that Jesus came, lived in this world, and walked as a man, 100% God, 100% man, had the same emotions that we have, had a love that God came from you. And Father, I pray tonight, God, that you would reach out with that great love and pull and tug upon the heartstrings of men and women, boys and girls. Lord, as we read this scripture that Jesus wept, I'm so thankful that our Savior had enough compassion in His heart that when He looked out at a lost and dying world, tears began to flow down His face. And oh God, tonight, through the years, some of these in the house of God, they've been tears shed by the bedside. They've been tears shed in the altar. They've been tears shed in various places. Lord, that they might come to a place that God, your Spirit would bring conviction. And now, God, I pray, Lord, all those tears, Lord, those prayers that have been stored up in vows from years gone by, God, I pray, turn them loose tonight. God, pour them out. Those that were prayed years ago, Lord, for men and women, boys and girls, to be saved. Oh, God, Lord, I know I'm not much tonight, but Lord, I'm not worried about me. God, I pray, let your Spirit do the work that only He can do. God, I pray, Lord, may this be the good night. God, some little sweet face looks up and says, the Lord save me. And oh, God, if you do this for them and for us, Lord, we could never pay you back. But oh, how thankful we would be. Now, God, I pray, Lord, speak to us as only you can in Christ's name and for our sakes. Amen. And amen. I know so often that when we read this scripture, everybody says, yeah, that's the shortest verse in the Bible. And unfortunately, a lot of times that's what it's known for, is being the shortest verse in the Bible. But in those two words, there's so much that is said. In those two words, Jesus wept, there's so much that is revealed. In scripture, we'll read that there are two other places where Jesus wept. He stood at the gates or on the outside of the city of Jerusalem. He began to weep. He began to see into the future their judgment and what was coming. And it came to pass. And the Bible said he wept there. The Bible records in the book of Hebrews and the 5th chapter when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and began to cry out to God, that he did it with great tears. And I want you to know tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ loved humanity. He loves you and He loves me. And He shed those tears in a great desire and passion that all might believe in Him and be saved. In this story, in the 11th chapter, and I know it's very familiar, found in the Gospel of John, we see that Jesus is outside maybe a two-day journey from that of Bethany. And the Bible said in verse 1 that there was a man that was sick named Lazarus in the town of Bethany. And of course, he was a brother of Mary and Martha. The Bible said in verse 3 that his sisters sent unto the Lord and said, "Behold, Lord, Thou whom thou lovest is sick." Now I want you to know, I love what was said in verse 5. And notice this, or let me read what Jesus' reply was. "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." But I want you to notice verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Aren't you glad that John wrote that in his word? He said, "Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus." I want you to know something tonight. The Lord loves you. Aren't you glad to know tonight that He loves us? Oh, I know that's some pertinent information that we need to know, that the Lord loves us. You say, "Brother Russell, does the Lord love us when we fail Him?" Yes, He does. Does the Lord love us? Does He love sinners, even who rejected Him? Oh, yes, He does. And you got to understand this about the heart of the Lord, that it's not His will that any should perish, but that all repent and find eternal life in and through Him. The Bible said that He loved them. And you know what He done? He abode there 2 days still. He stayed there for 2 days. And then He told His disciples after those 2 days, "Let us go up into Judea again." And His disciples said unto Him, "Now, Master, they sought to stone You the last time that we were there." And Jesus told them, He said, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk not in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world." Taylor, you preached on that, son, and done a wonderful, wonderful job. "But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him." And then He said this, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." Aren't you glad to know tonight that the Apostle Paul told us in the book of Thessalonians that we're not to sorrow as others who have no hope. He said they're asleep in Christ, and when Christ comes, He'll bring them with Him. Why, death for a child of God is not the end. We go to sleep down here and we wake up over there. We say goodbye to our sorrow and we wake up to His glory. Aren't you glad He's able to wake us out of our sleep? The Bible said this. The disciples said, "Lord, he does well to sleep." And Jesus said, listen, He plainly told them, "Our friend Lazarus is dead." He cut to the chase. There's no doubt about it. Lazarus was dead. But notice what Jesus said. He said, "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." I want to answer the question tonight, or help you tonight with the question, where is the Lord, or why wasn't the Lord there? We've had a lot of tragedy that has struck our nation over the last several years. There are a lot of people that in the midst of that tragedy, they say, "Where was God?" There are a lot of people that say about that school shooting, "Where was God?" I want to tell you that God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. There's not a place we can go where He is not. David said, "If I ascend into the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there." Somebody said, well, why did these bad things befall us? Why do people do great and evil deeds? I'm going to tell you why. Because God is not in their heart. But I'll say this about those little old children that perish and the innocents that perish throughout time at the hands of other people. God is there and He welcomes them in into His presence. And listen, it's not God's fault. We're in the shape that we're in. And isn't it just like humanity? They begin to blame God. They begin to say, well, God, where were you? Now let's get back to the message or back to the account. So Jesus comes in to that of Bethany. And as He comes in, Martha meets Him. And the Bible said, whenever she came out to meet Him, the first thing she said was, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. Oh, I want to tell you this. I believe it was in an accusatory. Lord, where were you? I sent word to you that he was sick. I sent word to you that he was in trouble. Where were you? I'm going to tell you something about God tonight. God don't move on our timing. God moves on His timing. And what we think sometimes is too late is just the right time. And I'm glad tonight we're not in control and that He is. And just at the time your faith's been stretched, just at the time you're about ready to give up, just at the time you're about ready to give in, God shows up and everything changes. I've come to tell you tonight, hold on, brothers and sisters, don't you give up. Hey, the Lord's on His way, and when He shows up, we'll know it. And so here Martha is, and she's torturing herself with this thought. If you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. I'm going to tell you something about the if. The if will never satisfy you. I know bad things have happened in my life, and some of them I caused, and some of them just happened. Some things happen, and I love what you preach this morning. Hey, I'm going to tell you, it rains on the just and the unjust. And there is suffering that we go through in this life. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're standing in front of a casket with a mother or a father, and they're asking you, why did this happen? And I'm not good. I don't have the answers. Oh, I feel so inadequate because I don't know. I don't understand myself. And then so many begin to play the blame game. Well, if I would have only done this, or if I would have only done that, or if this would have happened, or that would have happened. I want to tell you what's greater than the what if. The I am. The I am is greater than the what if. Oh, we can torture ourselves with how things could have been different. But thank God for the great I am, who's able to touch us, who's able to change our heart, who's able to give us hope. I don't know about the what if. I'm just going to trust in the great I am. Oh, brothers and sisters, I can't help but think how many young people that feel unloved sit on their beds at night and wonder, is there really a God? I wonder how many in our nation today that have been brought up to not even know who God is, who sat there and they feel all alone. Maybe there's some that sat there and say, God, if you're real, show me. Oh, Church of the Living God, do we have enough compassion in our heart? Oh, can we shed a tear for those that don't know Him? Listen, if you view humanity as sorry and no good, we'll never win them. We've got to see them as Jesus did. Sheep without a shepherd. Oh, we got to have compassion. She said, Lord, she said, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. But now listen to her faith. Listen, listen to this great statement, but I know. Every everything that happens in life that I don't know, everything that happens in life that I don't understand, everything that happens in life that I don't have a definition for, that I don't know how to absorb into my mind and comprehend, everything I don't know is surpassed by the one thing that I do know. I know I'm saved. The one thing you do know can outweigh everything that you don't know. When I say that I'm saved and I know I'm saved, what I'm telling you is, I may not know the outcome. I may not know what the future holds. I may not know what tomorrow brings. But what I know is this: I know I'm His and I know He's mine. And whether it be life or death, it's going to be all right. She said, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of Him, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Hey, we've had a lot of people in our church over the last 2 or 3 years, dear saints of God, that I loved and that you loved, and that laid a foundation for this church. And there's not a lot of days go by that I don't think about them. But oh, how glad I am to know that they shall rise. When I plant a seed down in the ground as an old pumpkin farmer, on the package it says it's got a germination rate. And that germination rate tells you what the percentage is that it's going to come up. And if you get really, really, really good seed, it's about 95 or 98%. But I'm going to tell you something about everybody that's been planted in Christ Jesus that was born again. It's 100%. He said they're coming up and they're coming up. Martha said, I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I believe that's about the time her little old countenance changed and the sadness left when she said, yes, Lord, I believe. Do you believe that tonight? I'm going to tell you what the prerequisite to being born again is that you believe with your whole heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. But you got to believe not with your mind, but with your whole heart. The Bible said this, He sent her away and said, call for Mary, and Mary came. The Bible said when Mary came to Him, the first thing she asked Him, Mary came, fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if You'd only been here, my brother had not died. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Mary. Every time we see her, what do we see her? We see her at the feet of Jesus. And there ain't nothing wrong when everything falls apart. There ain't nothing wrong. And when everything goes wrong, there ain't nothing wrong when you don't have the answer. Just to fall down at the feet of Jesus. She said, Lord, if You'd only been here, my brother had not died. Jesus saw her weeping and all the Jews and said, where have You laid Him? And they said unto Him, come and see. And then we get into that scripture that I read as my text. And Jesus wept. I want to talk about God being my helper for just a minute. Why Jesus wept? Because those other scriptures that I read to you in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke and in that 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews when it spoke of the Garden of Gethsemane, I believe we see a pattern of what caused Jesus to weep. And I've come to ask you tonight, have you put a tear in the Lord's eye? Somebody said, well, they wept because Jesus loved Lazarus. Well, that's true. That's a very valid point. No doubt Jesus loved Lazarus. And there's no doubt Jesus loves you and that Jesus loves me. So we can say amen. That's a very good point. Somebody said Jesus wept because he felt their pain and he had compassion. He was moved by their pain and their sorrow. Let me say this. Aren't you glad that he feels our hurt? And aren't you glad that he feels our sorrow? And that's a good reason why he may well. Somebody said, I believe he wept because he's going to have to call Lazarus back from the bosom of Abraham, from that good place up there, back down to this old pitiful earth. And there's some validity in that. I'll tell you this, when I get over there, don't pray for me to come back. I ain't coming until I come with the Lord. I'll be satisfied. But I wonder this. There were going to be those that stood there and they were going to see the greatest miracle up to that point that had ever been performed, not by man, because remember, while he's 100% man, he's 100% God. And in a minute, he's going to cry out or tell them to roll the stone away, and he's going to say, Lazarus, come forth. And they're going to stand there and they're going to watch this man who had been dead for 4 days walk out of the grave. And some of them, many of them are going to believe, but yet some of them will still, even in spite of that great miracle, not believe. I would submit to you tonight that the quickest way to put a tear into the eye of the Lord is to reject him and not believe him and not believe what he'd done for you on Calvary. We see in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the Bible said he stood outside of the city and he began to weep and cry, and he saw what would happen in 70 AD when a man named Titus would bring in the Roman army and they would burn Jerusalem down to the ground and barricade the city and people would starve to death. That was the price they paid for rejecting the Messiah. And he wept because he saw their judgment. In the Garden of Gethsemane, remember how the Bible said he took his disciples, three of them, and he said, you sit here while I go a little further. You sit here and you pray and you watch and you wait and I go yonder. He went a stone cast further and he fell down upon his face and he began to pray. And your Bible said he prayed until the drops of sweat became great drops of blood. In the book of Hebrews, it said he cried with great crying. And I have to believe as he sat there or as he kneeled there on that mountainside of Gethsemane, he saw my face. He saw you. And I think the greatest travesty and the greatest heartache that the Lord faced was knowing he would go to Calvary, give his life for everybody so that everybody all might believe and be saved. But yet there would be some who would reject him. And they would put a tear in his eye. Teddy, you said something the other day and God stirred my spirit. I mean, it was profound. And I mean, you'd said it, Donnie, I don't know which one. But you said that whenever Jesus saved, it was you, Taylor, when Jesus saved somebody, that not only do they feel it, but he feels it too. But I want you to know this. He feels the goodness when we get saved. He rejoices when we're saved. But oh, how it breaks his heart when we reject him. Did you put a tear in his eye? Have you been rejecting him? Do you realize that every time we love each other, I'm a father and I've got two children, and every time they played good together, I was a proud father. That wasn't very often. And every now and then, without any prodding from me or Keena, they'd end up hugging each other. And I would think to myself as a proud father, they do love each other. Yes. And I would be so happy because I didn't prod them to do it. It was in their heart. They truly loved each other. It made me happy. And I rejoiced as a father. And when God looks down at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and He sees us love each other, I believe it pleases Him. But when we backbite one another, when we talk about one another, when we hurt one another, did we put a tear in His eye? Oh, I know on Sunday we come in the house of God and we put on our Sunday best. But I want to ask you a question. Do you take what you bring in on Sunday morning? Do you live it and walk it? Are you truly living a crucified life with the Lord Jesus Christ? And every time that we testify when we're moved, and every time that God tells us to share our testimony with a co-worker or a friend, I believe the Lord is pleased. But all those times that God has moved upon my heart to speak, and I kept my mouth closed, did I put a tear in His eye? Now let me say this, just as sure as rejecting Him can bring pain and sorrow and put a tear in His eye, do you know what will cause a party in heaven? And I don't use that word like, listen, we think about that word party. Throw that out of your mind. I'm not talking about a world. I'm talking about when the Spirit of God and all of heaven rejoices because a sinner is saved. So tonight, each and every one of us have to answer this question. Have we put a tear in the Lord's eye? Does Jesus weep because we're not living for Him? Does He weep because we've rejected Him? I want to say this to you. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, you have an opportunity tonight to make all of heaven rejoice. All you have to do is ask the Lord to save your soul and trust Him and let Him do the work that only He can do. Listen, church, as a pastor, stand before you every Sunday or almost every Sunday, and I have to look at my life circumspectly. I have to get in the mirror of God tonight. And I have to be honest and say there have been some mornings that I know I put a tear in the Lord's eye to go out and live flippantly in the world and then come in on Sunday morning and expect God to bless and expect God to use us in a great way when the whole week our mind is everywhere else. Did you put a tear in the Lord's eye tonight? Stand to your feet. Tears are so powerful. I don't know. Whenever I come into a room and somebody's crying, it makes me want to cry too. Are y'all that way? I see somebody crying, and you know what? Whenever my kids were little, I come in the room and somebody was crying, and the first thing I would ask is, okay, what happened? Y'all been there as a parent? When the Lord shows up, He don't have to ask what happened. He already knows. And He pays us a visit because He knows that we're hurting. He knows that we're broken. He knows that we're wounded. Listen, let's please, if you hear anything, hear this tonight. Hear this. He loves you. Listen, regardless of what you've done, regardless of where you've been, regardless of what you've been through, regardless of how you've rejected Him in the past, He loves you. And tonight you have an opportunity. The only question that stands tonight is this: will you love Him back? See, here's where the world's got it all wrong. They say, oh, how could a loving God send people to hell? I'm going to tell you, Jesus died on Calvary. God sent His best. And that's all you're going to get. And it's enough. And by the way, He's wonderful and glorious. And all He wants is for you to love Him back. How do I do that, Brother Russell? You ask Him to be your Savior tonight. And He will. Oh, child. Won't you get us a song, please? Get us a song tonight, church, you pray. Listen, friend, if you hadn't been living close to the Lord or living where you're supposed to be, if you hadn't been living a crucified life, tonight you get it right with God. I'm going to tell you something. The surefire way to please God is to get things right with my brother and my sister. To leave my gift at the altar and go and reconcile with my brother and my sister and then bring my gift to God. Tonight, oh, if you put a tear in His eye, won't you come and pray as they sing? Won't you, God, Steve? Come on, fellas. Come on, gentlemen.